You know, after 1 year, we as coaches, we always want to go back and kind of do a self-analysis on ourselves. And, you know, I, obviously having a long Christmas break, I had a chance to do that not far from here in Troy, Alabama. So, you know, I go back, I'm looking at our football team. You're trying to play back every game in your head, right? So one of the things that I, you know, kind of came to me, I'm sitting here saying, you know, we lose probably a couple of games because mental errors, and we lose a couple of games probably because we maybe didn't fight the way we needed to fight like we did at the beginning of the year. Well, you go back, well, whose fault is that? That's obviously my fault as a head football coach. And you go back and look at the teams that I've been associated with or the groups of men that I've coached over the years, you know, that's not been the kind of the trademark of the teams that I've coached. You know, we've played the right way. We've played smart. We didn't beat ourselves. So I'm sitting there, okay, how does this happen? You know, and I go back, and it's pretty simple. The first 6 months that I'm at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, I'm trying to fix everything, right? So we want to get the weight room right. We want to get the practice fields right. We want to get nutrition, just everything that goes into building the program for the next 10 to 20 years. And I lost the most important thing to me, which was our players in itself. And the relationship that has always been a strength of mine. So I talked to my wife about it, and it was pretty interesting. You know, she's always, wherever we've been, she's always tried to take a lot of credit for the success that we've had, you know, over the years. You know, so I asked her when the season was over with on Christmas, I said, you know, babe, you hadn't mentioned a whole lot about, you know, your contributions to this year's season. And she said, well, if you had moved me to Knoxville in January instead of June, we'd have went 8-4 instead of 5-7. So, but I have learned a lot this offseason, and it was pretty easy fix to fix our relationship with our players and build a relationship. And it takes time, right? Over time, you learn to trust people, and you get to know them and know who they are. And with that, you know, it's been very positive this offseason. Our players are comfortable around our coaching staff. And you can see guys that maybe at one time I wondered whether or not they'd be able to help us, you know, win what we want to accomplish at Tennessee, to where I see guys that are kind of growing and developing and you know, are really have an opportunity to turn themselves into some fine football players. So I'm excited about this football team. I've been coaching for, I don't know, my math's not very good, since 1997, and I'm as excited about this football team as any I've ever been around. And it's not about how many games we're going to win or anything like that, and I know that's how you're measured. It's just about being around the people and how they go to work and how far they've came in the last 18 months. That's what excites me about it and where we're going. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Coach, to your left on the front row.
That being said, with your opening statement about kind of what you've learned about yourself with 1 year under your belt, what are your expectations and personal goals for yourself in year two?
Well, I want to be a better head football coach. I think it starts with trusting the men that you got working for you, and we have a fantastic staff at Tennessee. It starts on offense. I mentioned Jim Chaney, and I think he's one of the best coordinators in the country. T. Martin is one of the best coordinators in the country. You look at what he's done at USC over the last several years. You know, a guy that is a great developer of wide receivers. Will Friend's a guy that I've known for years. And David Johnson, coaching our running backs. Brian Needlemeyer's a bright young coach, great recruiter. Defensively with Derek Angeli, coming on as a defensive coordinator. Chris Rump, Tracy Rocker, Kevin Scher doing special teams. And that's just the guys who coach on the field. We have an army of folks, which Coach Fulmer has supported us in being able to do that, that can give their student athletes and be there. You think about it. Those guys I just named, 4 months out of the year, they're not there. Why? Because they're recruiting. Well, somebody needs to be able to help them grow and develop as a student athlete, and we have the resources there to do that. So we have a lot of really fine coaches, young coaches on our staff that you'll hear about one day.
On the riser, Coach, to your right.
Coach, you're with WLTX. Talk about Bryce Thompson. He made an immediate impact on the defense last year, his first year. Just talk about what you saw from him and what you expect from him this year.
You know, Bryce is a guy that played quarterback in high school. He played a little bit of wide receiver, just a touch of defensive back. But he's a guy that's used to having the ball in his hand. He was a great competitor when he came to Tennessee. He wanted to be a wide receiver. After a couple of kind of morning workouts and talking a little bit, he said, hey, I may try corner. Well, he's not left that position. I think he was an freshman All-American this past year. I like to recruit offensive guys to play defense. They're used to handling the ball. Alante Taylor's a guy that played the other corner, was a high school quarterback. So Bryce is a guy that, you know, the thing that you want to challenge him with right now, are you going to be the Bryce Ramsey of Bryce Thompson 2018 or 2019? Notice I've coached a lot of Bryces. And he's got to work to improve. He needs to be better than he was as a freshman.
Coach, to your right, second row.
Coach, I heard what you said in your opening comments, that you're tough on yourself and you evaluated yourself. And any good person does that in any industry, right? But there's also the understanding that it is a process. It is a process taking over a program. It is a process changing the culture and changing the lingo and getting to know your players and getting your system in there and getting your coaches in there. I wonder if there was, as you were trying to better yourself and be a better coach, I wonder if there was a little bit of that understanding, a little bit of that knowing on your part that you just took over at one time one of the most powerful programs in the country that had fallen a little bit, and you got to put your stamp on it, and it might take a little bit longer than a year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no better way of being able to get something accomplished is knowing who you're working with. And when you believe in the person that's beside you and the person that's across from you and knowing what you're going to get from them day in and day out and the expectations, it's easier to kind of pull together. Obviously, after being there for 18 months, everybody in our program kind of understands what's expected day in and day out. So we're headed in the right direction, and we're headed there in a hurry.
This gentleman here right in front of you, Coach. And when you're done, if you could pass the microphone to your left.
Coach, it's widely known that University of Missouri is currently unable to play in a bowl game. Their seniors were available to go to other schools. Have you had a chance to talk to Barry Odom about that, and did you have interest in any of the players from Missouri?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting deal. It's amazing how social media and things get going, but I had somebody call me about that, I think Barry made a few comments, about it, so I called Barry, and we had a conversation, and it was over with, so just a little miscommunication.
Okay, Coach in front.
Hey, Coach Pruitt, Simone, Birmingham, CBS 42. I'm told that coaches are like the greatest thieves. They always take something that they learn from other coaches. Your time in Alabama, what's the biggest thing that you took from Coach Saban that you still use today in your career now as a head coach?
If you look at the success that Coach Saban's had, obviously it's very well documented, right? A lot of people ask me this question. To me, it's how does he sustain? And it's the plan that he has every single day, 365 days out of the year. It's not about who his opponent is. It's not about the success that he's had. It's about the moment where his feet's at right then, and he has a plan every single day. So you see people that have success. You see teams. You see programs. They can do it one time. Look at us. We beat a few teams last year. Maybe we shouldn't have. But can you sustain and do it over and over again? That's kind of the beauty to me of Coach Saban. He's been able to do that and hold everybody in his program accountable to do it the same way.
Coach, again, to your right.
Hey, Jeremy, when you did your self-analysis, did you get a sense of the last two games, Missouri and Vanderbilt, that maybe your team didn't have any gas left in the tank emotionally and physically? It seemed like you had turned the corner a bit through South Carolina, Kentucky, but then it kind of came crashing down. Did you feel that way, or was it more just a coincidence that two of your worst days of the year happened to be the last two Saturdays?
Who am I talking to?
I'm sorry, I'm over here.
Okay.
We're all interested. You don't have to look at me.
Yeah, well, I just like to know who asked the question. Those two teams coached better than we did that day. They played better than we did that day, and that's part of it. So, did we finish the way we wanted to finish? Absolutely not. And that's something that we've got to improve on and something you learn from. And you got to give those teams credit. They pretty much kicked their tails both days.
Coach, to your left in the third row.
A.J. Spurn, 90.7 WVUA, Tuscaloosa. Coach, as the Volunteers look to bounce back in 2019, what's the driving force, what's the motivator for the team this upcoming season?
Well, you know, a lot of the guys on the team that have been there have not had a chance to have a whole lot of success, and that was not their goal when they went to Tennessee. They went to Tennessee because they believed in the program you know, kind of the history and direction. Now we've recruited some other guys. That's a unique thing about each year you start over, right? So it doesn't matter. I guess the history is not going to have any effect on what's going to happen in the future, right, whether you had success or you didn't. Each Saturday, you kind of get a chance to make history. And I think our guys are excited about building this team. They've worked extremely hard and come a very long ways in the last 18 months to develop a team and kind of create their identity moving forward about how's the 2019 team going to be remembered.
Coach, right here in front.
Hey, Coach. Olivia Whitmire with WHNT out of Huntsville. I wanted to ask you about a tweet of yours that you congratulated your alma mater on winning the basketball state championship, and then the NCAA kind of came back and wasn't necessarily too pleased about it. I just wanted to ask kind of your initial thoughts when you found out that the NCAA wasn't okay with it and how it's difficult not being able to necessarily congratulate your alma mater like that.
Well, we self-reported it, I obviously did it without asking anybody in our compliance. Let me tell you something. I don't tweet, okay? So I got somebody to do that for me because I was excited and happy for my alma mater. I had two first cousins that played on the basketball team, and I'm very connected to our community. I was there this past weekend visiting my mom and dad. So I was excited for those guys and the people that were associated with Plainview High School. So maybe I jumped the gun a little bit.
Right here in the middle, second row.
Hey, Coach, you talked about comfort and change coming into your second season. I was wondering, what was the biggest change in culture you had to make coming to Tennessee from what the culture was with Butch Jones?
Well, I wasn't there when Butch was there, so I don't know much about it. I know from the first day that I walked into the Anderson Center to where we're at today, we've come a long ways. When I say a long ways, I'm saying really the expectations of what you do every single day, a toughness, how to practice, how to work out, how to go about your daily business, trying to teach these guys how to be a pro, how to take care of your body, how to eat. There's been lots of changes over the last 18 months, and every change has been for the betterment of our student athlete. We worked extremely hard to give our players the best that can be offered across the country, and with our administration, Coach Fulmer, Randy Boyd, now we have a new chancellor, Chancellor Plowman. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to offer the best that there is out there when it comes to our student athletes at Tennessee.
Coach, second row right here to your left.
Coach, you've mentioned a few times bigger bodies on the line. JG spent a lot of time, he took some licks last year. With the emphasis on the O-line this year, you've mentioned protecting better. How good can he be? I mean, his stats last year showed he was one of the better in the SEC. How good can he be if he's protected and upright?
Well, I think it starts with the people around him. We've got good players around him. We've got good wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. And I'm going to tell you, we got some guys on our football team that have a chance to be really good offensive linemen. There's not a whole lot of experience up there, but we do have a lot of competition. We've got guys that probably have played some ball at Tennessee and might not have played very well. But I can tell you some of that had to do with the fact that they wasn't ready for it. You know, when you're 6'5 and weigh 250 pounds coming out of high school and play tight end, you probably have pretty good athletic ability. But it's probably going to take 3 or 4 years before, you know, you weigh 310 or 320 and you can block some of these guys in this league, right? So we got some guys that kind of fit that kind of category. Okay, they had to play when they were 270. Well, now they're 300 or 310. So it wasn't that they wasn't good football players. They just wasn't physically strong enough to hold their own in this league. And that's no fault of their own.
We have time for two more questions. The gentleman in the blazer over here.
Coach Caleb, no, WBLT in Knoxville.
I like that tie.
Appreciate that. Perfect shade, right? All right. So a few of you guys went over to Rwanda recently. What was your thought when you heard that they were going to be doing that? How does that benefit them as people, as football players, whatever it may be?
Well, you know, I sat down with all three of them, Matthew Butler, Josh Palmer, and Cheyenne LaBruza, and I asked them, do you want to go on this trip? And all three of them said, no, Coach, we don't want to go on this trip. We want to practice football. We want to stay, because they were going to miss a couple of days of football, right? And I asked them, I said, so you think you'll ever get a chance to do this ever again? They're like, no, we probably won't. I said, so why don't we just go? You know, because all three of them are very good students. They do everything we ask. They're really good leaders. They got a chance to do that because they're on the Vol Leader Program. You know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime deal for these guys, and I'm glad that they had an opportunity and that the university provided opportunity for them to do it.
Our final question in the middle right here.
Hey, Coach, Angela from News 12 in Chattanooga. Your dad just took the head coaching job at Dade County. What can Dade County expect from your dad now?
Well, he's a guy that's going to work a lot, because I was at the house last week. My mom was griping because he don't get home till past 10 o'clock during the summer. So she said, what do you think the fall is going to be like? So, no, dad's going to be a guy that he's going to get the most out of his players. He's always had a unique ability to do that. You know, it takes somebody special to coach high school kids, and to me, any kids, right? So you got to have patience. You got to have understanding and know that every night when your players leave, they're not all going to go to the same type of home. And he has a great understanding of that. And, you know, he loves kids. That's why he's still doing it. You know, I ask him, why don't you quit? And, you know, he don't want to. He wants to continue to have an impact on young people.